Hello, and thank you for listening to Frame One. I am Dryson, and I want to say you are in for a little bit of a special treat here, because when we originally filmed the Frame One interview, we did so where our cameras had a 29-minute recording limit. It just so happens that during one of these times, Ruth had to go and move her car for traffic purposes or parking purposes, and we captured a really cool conversation that happened off camera behind the scenes. And originally, we were thinking about putting this on Patreon as kind of a behind the scene special, but with Frame One being so new, I thought it'd be very important to just share this with you as a bonus episode. So enjoy what I feel is an extremely informational and powerful component that wasn't released in the original Frame One episode. Here we go.
Another thing that I think you mentioned is just like failures and just other challenges.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is worth mentioning is the transition from the mindset for us, from the freelancer mindset and order taker to creative, to a creative director, a true, like from animator to creative director. That challenge was so dynamic. There's so many different facets to that, not just personal, like what's going on inside of you, but there's also external influences.
When we did start, like I was saying earlier, we did kind of operate as freelancers, and we each kind of had our own projects,
yeah,
and we would sort of work on them the same way.
And moving to a team setting or a studio setting is very different.
Well, also, we all had our own processes or no process. And over time, and I think it was mostly, it was after we brought Joanna on and kept working and her kind of pointing out, like, well, what about this? Why aren't we doing this?
It was 3-4 years before you guys started looking at a process, a unified process.
I think by default, I mean, we developed it, but like just having an EP in there to sort of like kind of help us kind of fill in some gaps and button some things up to where we really talked about it and like documented it thoroughly and basically worked on this thing to where it's like, it's a thing that we hadn't really done before where it's, we're going to have stages. And once we're past the stage, we go forward, not backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, once this is approved, please understand that when we move here, we're moving here based on this approval.
Right.
And not to say it never moves backwards, but we've been setting that expectation more clearly, you know, I mean, for quite a while now,
right,
but like
right.
we didn't, it was just a thing that, it was just a learning curve for us, you know, trying to figure
having
it out.
Having the confidence as a studio, it's like, okay, well, wait a minute. We can't just keep going back to design things constantly. We're in animation. This should have been done, you know, this should have been noticed a long time ago. And as a studio, you have other expenses. You know, you're paying other people at this point. These are decisions that influence everybody. It's not just you working late because you failed to communicate to your client that you know, after this approval, we have to move on. When you're a studio, it's like, no, everything is way more expensive. Everything is higher stakes. And so you have to kind of train your clients. And some of them already know, but you have to educate them on why that's important, because sometimes they just don't know,
right,
you know? And so that was a big deal for us.
So what was like the switching point that you guys started doing to go from like the order takers to leading that creative direction? Like, that's not an overnight change.
No, that was really, really hard, because you have to feel like a creative director. And none of us felt like one. We just,
well, even beyond that, how do you get the clients to recognize you as that?
You meet them for the first time, you say, hi, I'm a creative director and I'm not an animator. You have to kind of start over.
Is it really that simple?
No, it's like, your old clients are probably never going to see you that way,
okay,
or it will take a while.
Okay.
So all of your new clients that you should be meeting, they have to see you that way. You have to establish it from the beginning, and you'll see a very big difference from the clients who knew you as a freelancer or see you as an animator versus the ones who met you as a creative director. Very different feeling. There's an automatic association of trust when there's a title like that. And I mean, I remember like meeting people and they're like, well, you guys are the experts. And I remember being like, damn, we are the experts, you know? And like, I've never heard that before. No one's ever said that to me before.
How long did it take before you started hearing that?
It's hard to say because we did have a lot of clients that were repeat, you know? But when we started meeting new ones, when I started really actively searching for new clients, within 6 months to a year, of people just being like, well, you guys know what you're doing clearly. And I'd be like, do we, you know, we do. I've never noticed. That shift, when you start hearing things like that, it really helps your confidence in that role. But on the other side of that, we had current clients at agencies telling us, don't be creative directors. You guys need to be the animators. You guys need to be doing the work. Do not hire out because that's not a good look. You guys, basically, we met you as animators.
We don't want to lose our resource.
Well, it was almost I think it was also kind of like, our impression of you is that you're doing all of the work, but are you just outsourcing it?
But on the same note, like if somebody wants say you guys are really good at stop motion pieces, which I know you are, but now you need somebody that's asking for a 3D spot, but you don't have that experience.
Sure.
You can take that project on, find the best talent for it, and make the client really happy because your processes and what you're known for is, you know, good work.
100%. I think the mindset has shifted dramatically since this happened, but it was, there's so much going on outside. It's like a
hurricane season.
Yeah. But sounds like we're like in like New York City right now. I noticed that certain clients were like, cool, that's great. You guys are creative directors. Whatever you need to hire, like we don't care how the sausage gets made.
Right.
Just do a great job. And then some were more like, no, you should not do that. Do not tell anybody that you guys are not animating. And we're like, okay, so now we can see it clearly. Obviously, that person didn't know what they were talking about, or they just had a different take on things. But at the time, when you don't know the right answer, it's really conflicting. And we were like, are we doing the right thing? So we didn't know how to talk about ourselves without feeling like we were revealing too much or that we were taking credit for other artists' work.
Imagine that mindset shift alone probably took a little bit of time to accept, like, no, we're not stealing their work.
Years.
We're directing it.
Years.
Yeah. And it kind of would go, you know, at least for me, it would kind of come and go to where, like, just so excited to be working with such talented people. Obviously, we bring an enormous amount of value, even if we're not the ones, like, you know, doing the animation. And so you could still be proud of this kind of collaborative thing that's happening.
Yeah.
But every now and then you sort of miss it, or I don't know, like just start for me, it would slip into like being like slightly less comfortable with it. You know, just sort of a little bit of an up and down, you know, to sort of not, I hadn't fully convinced myself that this shift in our roles and, you know, like I was saying, bringing value, but like we're just bringing a different value than we did before, or we're bringing a more focused value.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, you know, it was just sort of like a little bit of this, but constantly kind of going up to where being very confident in our roles, very still excited about our business model and how we work. And just these relationships we have with insanely talented people that we love working with and hopefully enjoy us too, you know.
I was watching this documentary called The Conductor. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. It was a great, great movie. And they were talking about the why do you even need a conductor? What, you know, you have the most talented instrumentalists in one place.
Who are reading sheet music.
Right. Like, why do they need someone to go like this? Well, and the person that does this knows almost every single one of those instruments, if not all of them, like at least this one conductor, this female, and she was amazing. All right. So when I was watching that, I'm like, okay, like that translates into a lot of different fields, but it certainly translates into being a creative director, because you are going like this. You, okay, you do that. And you, you're coming in now. And then you, all right. Meanwhile, you're still looking at the audience constantly. And you are the one really kind of bringing this experience
together.
And I don't mean to devalue any one of those roles. Every single person is a key player. And it's the conductor or the creative director's job to recognize that and to let them sing in that one moment. Okay, this is your spot. Okay, you lift up. Okay, now you come in. And so all of that was like really kind of like, I was really vibing with that whole idea.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's really applicable to what we do. And
To build on that, I was watching something recently where they were talking about how, you know, everyone's playing the same music. It's not like Beethoven's writing new stuff right now, but this conductor will put this kind of flair on it so it sounds completely different in this spot or draws out the emotion stuff.
Yeah.
And that's like, in my opinion, the work's the same, but the creative director is doing the same thing of pulling out which little parts that you can be known for.
And,
that's a very interesting comparison.
And the conductor, I believe, is the one that really kind of pulls everyone in. Like, they know their instrumentalists. They're the ones that say, yes, you're in this orchestra. You know, they kind of run everything. So yeah. I think that it's very, very similar in that there's a lot to manage. You're managing people. You're managing talent. You're motivating them. You're making them feel heard. But you're also appealing to your audience or your client. You're helping them to get in. You have to listen to what they say to know what they want. So it's a lot of translating, you know, it's like client speak.
Yeah.
Translate it into talent, you know, animator or designer or whoever you're working with. You have to know your field in order to talk to both. So
I love that.
I hope you enjoyed that bonus episode of Frame One as much as I did. Definitely some powerful stuff in there if you are trying to go freelance or start your own studio. If you are interested in future episodes of Frame One, keep your eye to all the podcast networks and YouTube and the website, frameoneshow.com, because I'm hoping, if all goes well, we'll be releasing one new episode every single month during the first full week of that upcoming month. So stay tuned. And thanks again for listening to Frame One.